Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in 20 minutes. You guys can continue to interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965.
Really small stuff for the Royals today, but there's no chance they're not going to tender a contract to Jonathan India, right? You know that they only have until 4 o'clock today to tender a vested veteran, which means if they didn't, he would just become a free agent and they wouldn't owe him the estimated $7.5-8 million he would make next year. He didn't have a good year. They're not going to walk on India, are they?
I think there's like a 2-5% chance that happens.
Let's just text JJ. I don't have to think about it.
I think there's like you think it's more likely than 5%?
Here's the thing. I think there's 0% chance he's any worse than he was last year,
right?
Which he had 233 with a 323 on base and had no pop. I think there's almost no chance he's as bad as he was last year. And considering the other needs you have, I'm not really, and he doesn't make any real money. $8 million? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real reason. Doesn't mean it's a start every day, depending on what the rest of your offseason does. But it would seem kind of wild to me to walk on India.
Unless there's a trade that they think is about to happen, and then that changes the dynamic on this entire conversation.
Do you read into the fact that he got a haircut? Does that say anything to
you? No, it does not. This does not.
He cut his flowing locks.
That is a shock. But you know what? Whatever works, man. Something's got to change. Last year wasn't good enough. Whatever you got to do, change up the mojo. When's the last time Josh Briscoe, you think, just completely went short hair? Have you ever seen Briscoe with short hair?
I've seen Briscoe with all kinds of different hair.
Josh Briscoe joins us. Of course, he'll be hosting pre and post game right here on 96.5 The Fan. 3 hours before Chiefs Colts, the rare noon kickoff here in Kansas City. Briscoe, do you buy into the, hey, look, if things aren't going well, do you just cut your hair? You have pretty long hair right now, don't you?
I do, and I am just absolutely heartbroken to learn about this Jonathan India haircut. My opinion on him as a baseball player has changed tremendously in these last 30 seconds. I am right now, I am very near a year since my last haircut. I don't know exactly what that says about me. Renee has always had the ability to just veto any hair growing, and she says to keep letting it go, so I'm letting it go. But I did a full-on buzz cut, I think it was 2 years ago, basically. So I'm really just playing in the extremes right now after a few years of trying to keep it looking like relatively normal. I've also had, and Cody would know this, I have had blonde hair, I have had black hair, I have had half blonde half brown hair, so I am no stranger to just mixing up the locks a little bit.
I will say, in 10 years of knowing you, I think I've seen you in 20 different hairstyles and hair colors.
Yeah, and that's just the kind of energy that I provide. You know, I like to be able to bring a little bit of mystery. You know, we hear this voice on the radio talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. What's his hair look like? That's what people are asking on Sundays, win or lose. People are there for the post game show, wondering, man, I gotta know what Josh is working with in the lettuce department. I like to keep him guessing.
Maybe we're on the hair game. Should Mahomes go back to the old hair? Better player with the crazy hair. You know, maybe he needs to get back to the old hair. You know, maybe you cut it too soon.
I think there's a whole, like, Samson theory here, and I mean, Xavier Worthy cut his hair last offseason. I think we've seen a lot of that kind of refreshing in the new start there. Maybe just grow it out until you win a couple games in a row. I co-sign that.
This feels like I don't even want to call it a show bet, but just camaraderie here a little bit. You can join up if you want. If the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl, will all of us agree to get buzz cuts?
Sure.
I might line up to get a tattoo or something.
I'll agree to not cut my hair until Mahomes, until they lose another game. If you think that it means they'll win the year rest of the way.
I do kind of like, I like,
do you know how bad my hair would look? Whew, I've never had long hair.
Yeah.
I think Cody grows it out, gold shaves. I think that's the split.
There it is.
I feel like Drew's done both probably, right?
Drew's bleached his hair before or whatever. Yeah.
So we're, Drew and I will do whatever, I imagine.
Okay, so there again, that's the deal. I will go buzz cut. If the Chiefs just make it to the Super Bowl, I will have a buzz cut Super Bowl week.
I guess I was gonna say I want them to win to make that happen, but I do kind of think that the idea of like what happened last year, like if there is a Super Bowl loss, that you just go like sackcloth and ashes, and you just say, hey, we're just stripping it all the way down. We're gonna start over and do a little rebuild in the follicle department.
He just starts wearing some darker clothes and listening to My Chemical Romance. Head shaved.
All the things I can help you out with, Gold. If you need help on darker clothes, please, yes. I got you.
Yes.
Hey, I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna withdraw from any of these bets because hey, Josh, I'm still waiting on a bet that potentially has me wearing a Hooters outfit here at the end of the season. So I'm gonna,
Josh, yeah. That's happening. If Cincinnati, once they're officially eliminated from the postseason, Drew is gonna be wearing a Hooters outfit, which is gonna be disgusting.
Drew, you want to shave your head when they trade Joe Burrow to the Rams this offseason?
Okay, oh, stop. No. Please stop. Please
he
stop.
Doesn't need that.
Please.
Let's talk about the game this Sunday. Vegas has him favored. I know there's lots of reasons to be like, the Colts have been the better team the entire year. There's no doubt. I guess just for starters, do you agree with us that the Chiefs are a better team than their record? Not that they deserve to have a different record, but that they are better than 5-5.
Yeah, it's like a perfect, like, there is a cosmic balance to what we saw last year to what we see this year from these Chiefs teams. Where last year, I think you say, hey, they're not quite as good as their record, but they deserve the record they have because they've made these plays in those clutch time moments. This year, I think they are a better team than their record indicates, but I think they deserve to be 5-5 because you have all five of those losses, you can go back and circle an individual moment and say, hey, if you make this play instead of giving up this play, you're undefeated right now. Now, obviously, that's not realistic. But to look back and to see exactly how specific those shortcomings have been, it's both the reason that I do legitimately think it's like fun to talk about what they could do as the 7 seed in the playoffs. And it's also the reason that they might be essentially out of the playoffs by Thanksgiving, I guess, if they lose 4 in a row and lose to the Colts and the Cowboys day after Thanksgiving, it's going to be funeral Black Friday.
Yeah.
So I really do think that there is absolutely truth to that, which, again, depending on how you want to look at it, I think can make you a little more optimistic about their playoff hopes, or it can make you a little more crazy because it's a really good football team that's 500 in late November.
Does Isaiah Pacheco being back in the mix and practicing change your feelings just about where this offense can go? Or are we at a point now where we've all discussed when they're willing to run, when they're not willing to run, Kareem Hunt's effectiveness? Does it not matter at all, but does it really change a whole lot for you knowing how they operate?
I think initially, and even like looking back at the Bills game, I thought maybe it did matter. At this point, and after the Broncos game, I really don't know. I mean, it's better to have him than not, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea even that he's going to be the number one running back the rest of the way might not even be the case. And I think that was always the plan for him through the first act of the season. And the Chiefs didn't add a major name in the running back room this offseason, I think in large part because they thought another year of Isaiah Pacheco with a full offseason off the injury would really lift the room. And frankly, I believe that. I think I was in studio with you guys during the Kareem Hunt signing, which was after the Elijah Mitchell signing. And I remember having that conversation about the running back room. All that to say, the problem hasn't been Kareem Hunt. I mean, especially with how good he's been in short yardage and under center and on third downs. Like, those are specifically the types of situations where you want to have a running back who you can rely on. And frankly, like, much to his physical detriment, just seeing the wear and tear Kareem Hunt has taken these last two seasons, Hunt has been really good at that. He really has come through in those moments. So, again, better to have Pacheco than not. Maybe it makes it a little bit easier to give Pacheco 5 carries that Hunt wasn't going to get just because it immediately follows a play where Hunt has to like roll off the field just because he's taken such a beating. So I'm glad that, I guess, we don't know officially that he'll be back, I suppose, but I'm hopeful that he'll be back. I think it will be beneficial to the offense when he returns, but I think if they're going to run the ball 20 times, they're going to do it with whoever they've got. And obviously they're not a team that runs the ball 20 times very often.
Do we overestimate their weapons? Xavier Worthy's obviously having a step back year up to this point. Maybe Rashee Rice just isn't the same after the injury just yet. I don't think that's crazy that next year, a full year removed from the injury, we'd see the normal one. But there is something about the weapons right now and the ability to get open that is concerning.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely concerning. I know this is a crummy radio answer. I don't know. I haven't figured it out. I haven't decided for myself. It is a fair question to be asking here, a little bit beyond the midseason point. But man, I just so fully believed that this wide receiver room is deeper. It is more talented at the top. It is overall healthier, both in like the literal and the metaphorical sense. I really, really believed in this version of these weapons making life easier for Patrick Mahomes. And we know the offensive line is better. That one, I do know it's better, even though the offense has still had its issues. I still think that it is a worthwhile wide receiver room, and it's not one of the five best in football, but it's plenty good enough to be a more functional offense than what we've seen. Them having issues against, like, man coverage is weird, and in some of the specifics, and especially when you gotta have it in some of those late game drives when you just need to pick up first downs, or if not scoring altogether. I really think the only two options for me, just to be honest, the only two options for me is either that I got it wrong and the Chiefs got it wrong in terms of what we believe this group was going to be, or for some reason they have not been able to equal the sum of the parts. I still lean towards the second one, but it's obviously a reasonable conversation to have when the offense has those good underlying metrics that show you that the health of the unit altogether is better than it seems. But the overall health of the unit doesn't matter very much when in the fourth quarter you gotta have it and you can't get it. So it's really frustrating.
Do you think that fourth quarter issues, do you think those are more Patrick Mahomes or play calling, or like what do you attribute to in the final 8 minutes of the game for whatever reason they've stunk?
I mean, it's going to be a little bit of all of that, obviously, where you've seen some of those moments. We're not only like the times when it seems like Mahomes is pressing a little bit, or maybe he overshoots one of the deep balls early, or some of those picks that have obviously been really, really consequential this year. I also think that it seems like that snowballs when Mahomes is kind of, excuse me, when Mahomes is perhaps losing a little bit of that instinctual faith in the structure. And I don't just mean the play calling there, but like especially before Simmons's return, we saw, especially against Buffalo, not a great defensive line, but you see that flash of color and Mahomes starts to speed up a little bit. He bails out of a pocket maybe he shouldn't bail out of. Some of those things where we saw some bad habits in worse circumstances for Mahomes over the last couple of years, they really seem to even out during the first act or two of this season. And now seeing some of those things return, I think you can point to Mahomes there. I also just don't understand some of the stuff we've seen formationally. I don't understand why they have been so hesitant to run the ball in some of those situations. Because like I think it is absolutely fair to critique Mahomes in some of these circumstances. But when you've got 4 minutes left in the game, 6 minutes left in the game, and you're either protecting a lead or just trying to march down the field and keep this thing together, it makes Patrick Mahomes' life easier if his first decision is on 2nd and 5, rather than 1st and 10, 2nd and 10, 3rd and 10, punt. The ability to just run the ball a little bit better and to get ahead of the sticks, run the ball a little more consistently even. I don't think they need to run it a lot better. I think creating a few more of those scenarios where Mahomes doesn't have to feel like he's got to do everything, I think that would go a really long way. Now, of course, the first time Kareem Hunt gets stuffed on 1st and 10 and now it's 2nd and 11, then you're going to see that pattern continue.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe here on 96.5 The Fan. He'll have pregame and postgame coverage on Sunday for the Chiefs Radio Network. Looking at the AFC, especially after last night, what you saw from Houston, what you saw from Buffalo, I think we all know, you know, the Chiefs have to handle their business first and foremost, and so that'll settle a lot of this. But did that change your view of, I guess, mainly the Texans and how challenging that could be if that game hopefully still matters in a few weeks?
Yeah, it really did. And I know that this isn't the first time that anyone has seen the Texans pass rush. And I feel like I've seen them mostly in flashes on Red Zone or days after looking back at the games. I don't feel like they've had a lot of primetime showcases for that pass rush. But holy smokes, man. I mean, it's good. Just that is one of those pass rushes where you just start hearing the Jaws music and you just go, oh, no, OK, this is a unit that is not only really good, that is dictate terms, that is limiting what Buffalo wants to do, that is getting to, he has an opportunity. I think I lost you guys.
You're good. We got
you're
you
here.
Oh, he doesn't hear us.
Okay, sorry. I heard a noise and I lost my connection. It is such a dominant unit that is able to rattle an opposing quarterback that way, and they're doing it, man. I They're doing it with Davis Mills. Like, I know that we're not, they didn't beat the Bills because of Davis Mills, but I really thought like, okay, if this is going to be a significant absence for CJ Stroud, this is a Texans team that's has flaws of its own. And they started 0-3. I mean, yeah, they're fine. They're a fine team, but they were one of the teams that I kind of had circled that would be more likely to drop out of the race in the second half of the season rather than surge into it. They get the Colts next week. That'll be fascinating, obviously, depending on how the Chiefs show up on Sunday. And then what that game looks like the week after. But really, really impressed with the Texans, and that I do find them more of a serious contender now than I would have told you they were yesterday.
Briscoe, are you with Vegas, I guess, lastly? Do you think the Chiefs beat the Colts on Sunday?
Man, I don't know. It is fascinating that they're favored in this game, and I guess I understand why, because the upside of the Kansas City Chiefs is so significant. I think I do. I'll tell you this. I will not be needing to go to Vegas or even to open an app to make that's gonna let this sucker play. But I really do think that this is the last time the Chiefs can call benefit of the doubt. You know, they talked about a sense of urgency, that they're not overreacting and believing in what this team has done in the past, what they still can do going forward. It really takes a lot of air out of my sails that they looked so similar against Denver like they did before the bye against Buffalo. If this was the game out of the bye, I'd probably be able to talk myself into it all over again. I will very, very narrowly nod in the Chiefs' general direction in this game. I am not in any way confident about it, but if they win this game, I think we're going to feel unbelievably different on Monday, and we're going to be able to start doing the fun look ahead of, okay, they're probably not winning the division either way, but here's the path to the 7 seed, to being the most frustrating thing for a 2 seed to host in the actual playoffs in January. Or Indy, who's been excellent this year, if Indianapolis wins this game, I mean, we are going to be doing some, like, fan fiction where we're counting up losses where the Jags and the Texans and the Ravens could all stumble because they would need that. But I'll give them the benefit of recent history one more time here for the game on Sunday, and very, very, very much hope that they're able to get it done.
Lastly, 2 people, 3 people, 4 people now, I guess, on the text line wanting us to ask you, are you going to see Wicked, I guess the second one?
Yes, I will at some point, I'm sure. It honestly, I like to think of myself as a relatively cultured man, but I really didn't have any particular affinity for Wicked, but my wife did, so we went and saw the first one. I saw it once. We may rewatch the first one. This was a recent topic of conversation. There's a lot of football on TV, so I don't know. But I'm sure I will end up at part two here at some point, although I can't say it's my personal passion. I will be there. I will go to the movies. I will celebrate cinema, and I will stay married.
You didn't answer whether or not you're a Glinda or Elphaba, so we can't be sure that you're serious about it, you know?
No, I know. That's the thing, is I have offered to you know, fully cosplay whatever color palette I need to work with, and at some point I think Renee decided, you know what, I'm not gonna put you in a costume. We're just going to get you there.
There you go, Josh Briscoe. Appreciate it, man. There you go. He will be hosting pregame Sunday morning as the Chiefs get set to kick off at noon against the Colts right here on 96.5.
Either you guys
are
the
fan.
Well, somebody's
cosplay
taking
fans.
Cosplay fan, like dressing up.
And Briscoe just said, hey, no, what the? Hang on, no.
Like, define cosplay fans. Like,
oh, we just learned a little bit more about Drew.
No, you can't. I did it. I asked it on purpose. The way that I asked it was on purpose. I tried to be as awkward as possible, and it worked.
Are you?
No.
Okay. No, to answer your question, no. I have a family member went and saw the new Wicked on Tuesday night, Wednesday, whatever opening night was.
My daughter
Wednesday
wants to
night.
See it. So
they went Wednesday night. They enjoyed it.
My wife, my son has already professed an interest to not go.
Okay.
So it'll either be me or my wife taking it.
I didn't see the original or the one last year or 2 years ago, whatever it was. So, but I've heard it's very, very good. I definitely have heard that. All right, we'll have a Chiefs Red Half Hour here in 10 minutes, but first, all right, let me read a couple headlines, and you guys can tell me which one you want to dive deeper into. So, one, police helicopter had to dodge a UFO over a U.S. airbase. A man has to have surgery after accidentally getting a ceramic cup stuck in his butt. An Amazon driver found a fox trapped in the delivery van engine. Or a Washington State business said had no clue a man that was playing Santa killed his wife years ago.
Well, that's what? That one's dark. Feels too early. Can we save that one for after Thanksgiving?
Sure, sure.
We'll save the Santa one till after Thanksgiving. I want one or two, please. Either a guy claiming to accidentally get something stuck in his butt.
Yeah, here, we'll do that one.
Accidentally.
We go to
41 years of life. I never accidentally got anything stuck in my butt.
Yeah, it's weird how that works, you know? You're just sitting in a chair and had to worry about that. But a man in Taiwan had to undergo major surgery after a ceramic cup got stuck in his rectum. He said, of course, it was an accident. I don't know why they give the dimensions of the cup, but they do. And it showed up on an x-ray scan at a hospital. The unnamed man had come to the hospital complaining of stomach swelling for 3 days, unable to go to the bathroom. He was too embarrassed to tell doctors about the cup at first. He had been hoping he could push it out naturally on his own.
No.
Doctors first tried to remove the cup from the outside, but that did not work. They had to perform a 2-hour surgery to remove it through his intestines.
When doctors
asked, "How did it happen, man?" He said it was an accident. He claimed he didn't know how it got there. A doctor at the hospital warned that putting objects there can cause serious damage to your internal organs and can be deadly. The doctor said he had seen baseball bats, even a coconut get stuck there
before.
But this was the first time for a cup. Yeah.
What?
Hey, man.
What's the story about the coconut? I need the backstory there as well.
I got to say.
Look, it does nothing. Nothing accidentally.
There's nothing embarrassing. It's just you and the doctor. You can have a moment of honesty. You made a mistake. I don't know why you chose cup, but accidentally. Gold, I've been alive for 41 years. You've been alive for 33 years. How many people are just tripping and falling and actually getting, and I just don't think that's possible. I don't think if I put a cup in the chair and told you to sit down 1,000 times, it accidentally gets stuck up there.
Should we read Josh's text? Because I think it's...
Go for it.
From Josh Briscoe.
Go for it.
Poor guy. Sounds like that really wrecked him.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. The coconut, the cup diameter it said was 3 inches long, 2 inches wide. A coconut, I'm just saying.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're right, Cody. And the fact that
what's the outside?
if you're going to say that it happened by accident, but then you say I don't know how it got there, then
the doctor's not stupid. It doesn't accidentally enough there.
Here's the other part of it. If it did, I'd have no embarrassment. If I tripped and fell, and then a cup ended up in my rectum, I'm going straight to the doctor.
Right. Yes.
Immediately to the hospital. Like, I can't believe this happened. I got to get the hell with the doctor now because this can't be good for my body. So I got to solve this problem immediately. You don't wait 3 days if it ended up there accidentally.
And then say you don't know how it got there. Yeah, you might. Yeah, you're telling on yourself.
He's making it sound like he's that old infomercial guy on the ladder, you know? He's talking about he's like falling down.
Yes.
Can't work the measuring tape. That's how he's describing the situation.
Someone says more like it was a shot glass based on the dimensions. I don't know. Either way, by the way, right? Like, either way.
Ceramic or glass or whatever.
How long would he have to miss work for that? Someone wanted to know.
Longer than a week, I bet. I can promise you I'd be out longer than this hernia surgery. That's for damn sure. The average mature coconut is 6 to 8 inches in diameter.
Apparently, someone said, there's no HIPAA laws in Taiwan. Yeah, I don't know how this story got out. That's a fair question. I doubt this gentleman just offered up the information. This comes from the Daily Star, which is a paper in the UK. And there's the X-ray. I mean, it looks like more like a no. It's an X-ray.
It looks like a shot.
It looks like
a shot. It's not like graphic.
It's an X-ray. Yeah. That is the trash.
All right, no more jokes from now on because my side hurt while I was laughing.
Between you and Cody,
can't laugh much because of the hernia. Drew's sore from the car accident.
Yep.
Nobody can laugh. You guys can't
laugh.
I'll laugh for you. How about that? That's the trash
Perfect.
Of the day. Up next, the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Why they've been so bad in one particular area defensively, and no, it's not just getting after the quarterback. And we have to play you the latest piece of audio. We've played it for years. This time, it's Colts and Chiefs. It's never been more fitting. There's a new one that's out. We'll tell you what it is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Is next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Coming up in a few minutes, we'll get to something that we've played in the past, but it's never involved a Chiefs game week. And it's very fitting, and I appreciate a listener texting in, I should say, that this was already out there. And so we will play some of that for you. I'm excited. I have not heard it.
Me either.
I kind of know what it's going to be, but I have not heard it, so we'll get to that. It has to do with Chiefs-Colts on Sunday, noon kickoff.
One of the biggest things going into this match, and there's lots of them, obviously, because the Chiefs are on thin ice and fighting for their playoff lives for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes-Andy Reid era. I saw statistically on third and long, they are the worst defense in efficiency on third and long in the NFL. And I was trying to figure out why. I mean, it can't just be that Chris Jones hasn't been the same player, right? They still have good scheme. They can still blitz. Spags good at that historically. The corners haven't changed from a previous year. It's not like there's been some big drop-off. They still have Trent McDuffie, right? He's still on the team. Jalen Watson still on the team. Hell, Christian Fulton's even playing at least a little bit now, even if it's not as much. So, like, being that bad on defense on third down to me can only really come down to one of two things. One is that it's not just Chris Jones, but the entire pass rush is one of the worst in the NFL.
Right.
And statistically, it's not the worst in the NFL. You would think that it is just based on watching this team consistently week in and week out. I think that they have the issue of, I think Spags has blitzed less because he's afraid of getting burned on the back end in these closer games. And I think that they're going to have to be and risk being more aggressive back closer to what they've been. This last game against Denver was their lowest blitz rate of the season. And I think that they're like third and 15. You know, Bo Nix won't get us on third and 15. Chris Jones will get pressure. Karloftis will get pressure. And we'll be fine. And they weren't. And on those moments, even on third and 15, I think they're going to have to go back to what they used to do back when they were winning games regularly and by a lot, which is even on those downs being aggressive. Some of it's play and some of it's talent. I'm not deciding but you shouldn't be dead last.
It's never one thing with any of this kind of stuff, but I think very clearly that if you were to say the number one reason why the Chiefs have struggled on third downs, it's the front four. It's the front four not being able to consistently get after the quarterback. So yes, Chris Jones is part of that equation. So is Karloftis. And more importantly, I would say it's that they do not have the third piece in there like they had a year ago. And honestly, I think we all underestimated the departure of Turk Warden. Now, I would not have paid him the contract he got. That's even with seeing the results this year. I still
should have replaced him in a different way.
Yeah, yes. Turk Warden was a really, really nice third option or so. Mike Dan was better a year ago. Charles Omenihue, of course, late in the year when he got healthy, was an impactful player. This year, there's been glimpses, but it just hasn't come together yet.
Could some of this be Justin Reed? That they don't have the coverage skills in the back end of they're not as lined up as well because they don't have, we talked about this before the season, a veteran safety that they've always had on their defense the entire time.
Jaden Hicks is barely even playing though.
I don't know what
the exact snap percent, but like not as much as we thought. Let's put it that way.
What I'm saying is maybe they miss having a veteran safety. Veteran safety seem like they'd be important on third and long specifically, don't they? Somebody to make sure that people are at the distance they need to be, stop things from going the way they're going.
No, it could be. I would say at some point, though, when you have guys that you drafted a year or two earlier, or you have a veteran still back there in terms of being able to help kind of coach up Mike Edwards. I'm not saying his individual play, but just somebody that you at least brought back, I thought, to kind of coach up some of the young guys too in the secondary. At some point, you do have to hand the keys off. I get why they moved on from Justin Reed. I'm not second guessing that decision at the time. You might be right that it has hurt them, but I understand why they moved on. And it was time to get, it was time for Jaden Hicks and other guys to step up. But I still think so much of this is they have to blitz to get pressure. The front four do not generate consistent pressure. Chris Jones just simply has not been as good, even if he's being double teamed. He just hasn't been as clutch of a player in the biggest moments, kind of like how we say Mahomes on offense. I mean, when we agree that they're struggling in these tight moments, one or two plays, a year ago Mahomes made every play, and a year ago Chris Jones was more impactful. If we're really like dumbing it down to the biggest stars and leaders on the team, that's why. But bigger picture, yeah, I think Steve Spagnuolo is going to have to blitz Daniel Jones and take the risk that he's able to be really, really smart and quick with his reads, and they're going to beat you, and Tyler Warren goes after, goes off against you. So be it. But you, to me, have to go down swinging, as in blitzing, after Daniel Jones. You cannot sit back and just let him carve you up.
Cody, are you talking from like a leadership, from a communication and leadership standpoint more than anything else? Because
yes.
Is that what you're talking about in regards to Justin Reed more than any play sort of thing?
We talked about this in the offseason, and this is why I'm bringing it up now for the first time, because they're struggling so much in this area. When Andy Reed took over, he immediately was like, I need a veteran safety, a guy who leads this defense, and they went out and got Tyrann Mathieu. And then immediately after Tyrann Mathieu was gone, they spent top-end free agent safety money on Justin Reed to get yet another veteran guy who knew what he was doing. This year, they just said, good luck, Connor. Good luck, Cook. And we'll use Hicks more, although he's playing less than 50% of the snaps at the moment overall. And said, we'll go that route instead. And what's happened is they've gone single high safety, and it's been more linebackers. And then Connor got stuck in this wash of playing corner instead of really playing safety for a while. I don't think they've solved safety at any point this year. And I do think safety is an important thing for third and long. Pass rush should matter for third and long. But with 15 yards, you shouldn't need a pass rush to keep their ass off the field.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Like, you shouldn't need a pass rush to keep them from getting a first down. It's 15 yards.
I would agree with that. You know? I think there's probably some truth to, going way back to the beginning of the season, we were wondering about Christian Fulton, and, he finally just really played in a game this past week, that they have not been able to mix and match and find out who, I guess, in Spag's mind, that he either trusts or he thinks is most effective. No Williams, we looked really good early in the season and promising. He suddenly is not really getting on the field anymore.
Nope.
They at one point Joshua Williams was back there, then he was inactive. Like, they have not found the right combination of guys, and it's November 20th or 21st now. November 21st, they have not been able to find the right combination. Usually that's something that Spags has excelled at. And I don't know what the exact reason is that, what the reason is for that. Is that all coaching? Is it just some players truly just have not come along as much as they would like? Something has really been an issue with finding the right pieces to have on the field at the same time, personnel-wise, to what you're saying. I just think the simple answer is that they don't get pressure on the quarterback. And I just think whether it's Daniel Jones, whether it's going to be Dak Prescott on Thursday, a week from yesterday, they have to blitz. And if they don't get home, yeah, they're going to get burned. But I think that's how you have to go and approach it kind of the rest of the way.
What's crazy is I'll say they're 19th in the NFL in sacks.
Okay.
They are three off from being top 15. So it's like they're not good enough, but they're not so bad that there's no redeeming qualities to it. Now, obviously, they're way off of Denver and Houston. Denver's, by the way, as much as you just watched Houston's defense last night, Denver is still 16 sacks ahead.
And they just got 8 last night.
Of Houston. So, like, if you just, and maybe this, it hasn't updated with last night's game, so at best they're still 8 sacks off ahead.
Yeah.
If for whatever reason ESPN's hasn't updated the number yet, although it does say 11 games, and they've played 11, I think. So that'll give you some sense of where those two teams are and the differences between it. Look, they're not good enough, but I still think that I think it's a multitude of problems, but they got to be better on third down, plain and simple.
So over the last year or two, we've played this occasionally, but it's never happened when the Chiefs have played the Colts. And each week there's this Colts fan that goes viral. He writes a song, right? And you'll hear it and you'll say, I think I might've heard it. It's the official Colts theme song from this fan. And he goes by the Instagram handle Blue Eyed Seth.
Okay.
And he calls himself Seth DeFlo Jones. Okay. But this song is geared towards the Chiefs. At the beginning, my understanding, Drew was explaining the video, that you'll hear this kid, he's holding a football and he appears to be throwing a football, but just keep that in mind at the beginning of the video.
Hey, watch out for the Smithies! Yeah! Got Gotcha! This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Chiefs. Mahomes can't beat us. This is our team. Go Colts!
Yay! I gotta say, this guy's gotta work on what? His
lyrics. Mahomes can't beat us. This is our team. Go Colts!
Yay! Is that a nay at the end?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a nay. Yes.
Okay. Not his best.
Someone said he's the Colts version of Cody.
No, no, okay, that's an insult. You just listen to that 816. Don't let me in with that guy.
Oh, my goodness.
This is our Chiefs.
We bleed blue.
We bleed red.
This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them.
You should absolutely do a remix with the same beat, but do it for the Chiefs and just see how
if they win, I guess it's probably worth it, you know? This is our Chiefs. We bleed red. And then, I don't know. What's the version of
can't beat us.
Daniel Jones can't beat us. I just made the same lyrics, you know?
Goodness. I mean.
Somebody says, I'll never complain about another 96.5 fan original.
It could be worse. It could be worse. Yeah.
I will say this, though. Shout out to Seth, because he's been doing this for years now, I think.
Yeah.
And he's been consistent regardless
We've
of
We've played older versions. Yeah. I don't know if we have the other ones. This one obviously is fitting. It's Chiefs week, but we do have
longer. This felt short.
Colts fan song. This is from
Micah over in the text center earlier said he had to apologize last week because he said something about breaking someone's back in the song.
This is otherwise
last week.
This is our Colts, whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is.
I like those lyrics better than the Chiefs one.
Someone says, was that Colt tap? Well done. Well done.
Leave me out of this. It had nothing to do with me. No.
Someone says that guy sounds like he broke his hernia.
Jeez.
Next week I'll be clear.
Do you think you can sing the same?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
If we need a recreation of that song, I don't know how to get the. Here's the problem, Drew. It's like,
Mahomes can't beat us.
I don't think there's a karaoke version of that. So I'm going to have to find something similar. I'm not gonna
Why don't you just message him and ask him for
thing.
The beat? Invite him on the show after the Chiefs win on Sunday.
Hey, man, do you mind? Can I borrow your beat? I would like to.
I think he's done stuff with NFL Network, hasn't he?
Oh, he has?
To my knowledge, I think he was on it. I think he was on a big time show. It might have
Someone
been
says that's a parody of a Christian music song. Okay.
Okay. So maybe I can find it. I apologize. I didn't
this
know.
This is our Colts.
What's the name of the song?
But I think he's been interviewed before.
Oh, is it like This Is Our Lord instead of This Is Our Colts? I was just thinking about what could replace Colts in the lyrics. Or is it not This Is Our?
I'm going to see if he was interviewed because I think he was.
I don't want to scream it too loud because, again, I'm not supposed to sing till next week. And yes, I did ask my doctor about that.
You should collab. Oh, wait, hold on. Ask your doctor about singing?
I could sing, yeah.
Okay.
It was him who said I could not sing this week. I sent him the song I was thinking about in the style in which he said I wouldn't recommend that. And I don't know if that just means he was trying to save the listeners a song this week.
I told you, I like this doctor already. I want a written note that says no singing for 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah. A doctor's note.
I'm allowed to live normal life after 6 weeks, they said.
Yeah.
Like everything
just
can
be
like.
Just to be safe, 6 months. Just to be safe.
It looks like the only interviews he's done are for like local TV. That is it.
That makes
never
more
mind.
Sense.
Yes. And he also won Colts Fan of the Year, I believe, last year, which also.
Wait, this guy won Colts Fan of the Year?
Yeah. Okay. Look, if you're this passionate about your football team, then I say you should win.
Okay.
You know, if you're this into it, or where you're painting your face and you're wearing all the gear and you're doing the song and everything like that. Oh yeah.
When you're willing to make that nay on you know your podcast, then mm-hmm. you earn it.
Okay.
You earn it. I will say one thing: I'm not looking forward to this game.
Okay.
I had someone message us two different times. Three different times on the text line yesterday, and they were like, the Chiefs, all they really need to do, Gold, is get back to not being a team that makes mistakes. They got to clean it up. Eliminate the penalties, right? Like, the stuff that, like, normally stands in there. And then what I hear from that is, and you have heard this from fans too, I know, which is the Eric Bieniemy used to have this team disciplined. Used to keep them in lockstep. They didn't make mistakes like this. He'd hold people accountable. We didn't tolerate this number of penalties. First off, I got bad news for you. The crew chief for the game on Sunday is the most penalized crew chief in the NFL this year.
Great.
His crew throws the most flags in the entire league. He's
another
a rookie.
Flag fest, then, is what
he's
you're
a
saying.
Rookie crew chief, and his unit throws more flags than any unit in the NFL. So if you're thinking, oh, we're going to have a nice little clean flag-free game on Sunday, sorry, no dice.
Okay.
Secondly,
okay.
I don't know how to break this to Chiefs fans, and I feel like I want to put this here now so that you understand. The Chiefs have never, and to be clear, never will be a good team in penalties in the NFL under Andy Reid. And look, I'm assuming it's because he's a player's coach or his scheme's complicated and it forces more mistakes. Hell, I don't know what the reasons are. It's definitely coaching. I don't think you just happen to have players who are more likely to commit penalties over a 7-year run. Because if you think this year is different than any other year, it's not. Going back to the first year Patrick Mahomes started, they were 31st in penalty yardage. The year after that, 25th, 29th, 13th, 19th, 18th, 9th last year was actually surprisingly decent, and 23rd this year. They are historically one of the most penalized teams on average in the NFL in the entire Andy Reid era. They're not cleaning it up. They are going to commit penalties. It is a part of their franchise identity.
It is.
It doesn't
now.
Mean they can't overcome it, but it is a part of their franchise identity.
It has been something since Andy Reid took over that, yeah, they have not fared well in the penalty category. But I will say, if we agree that in a year where the margin is thinner than ever and they are more vulnerable and the gap has been closed more than ever between everybody else and them, and they're now 0-5 in one score games, should there not be more of an emphasis on that? It's having more of an impact, I would argue, Cody, than ever before. Like, you're right that they were not great against in penalties in 2023. They won the Super Bowl, 18th.
Yep.
Obviously,
won the Super Bowl in 2022,
19th or whatever. Like, I hear you, but if the margin is so slim now, doesn't it matter more than ever, though, that one penalty in the past, maybe it didn't cost you a game.
Sure.
Now it does.
I'm just saying they can't just, of all the things the Chiefs have been able to flip the switch on, penalties ain't it.
Yeah, well, I agree on the...
Other than Juwan Taylor lining up on the line.
Well, I don't... Well, they really... I don't think that is just what it is at this point. I think the EB part, I'll agree with you on, which is if Eric Bieniemy was on staff, I don't think their penalties are any different.
They're historically more penalized than Eric Bieniemy.
Now, I was talking to our boss about this yesterday after the show. Now, if you want to make the case, the only argument if you want to make the case that Eric Bieniemy was willing to tell Andy Reid things that he doesn't want to hear, and he doesn't care... And, you know, he called Mahomes a competitive prick. Like, he's not worried about upsetting people's feelings.
He doesn't care if you like him or not. He's going to tell you how he feels.
I'll listen to that. But if your point is they need a disciplinarian and it's going to clean up drops and penalties, I call BS on that. No. But if you want to make the case that Andy Reid would hear things that maybe others are afraid to say,
they're saying I'll buy into that. Sycophant
that's
yes men.
Then I'll hear that out.
That's all goes back to the, like, if Matt Nagy were to get another job or they made a change at offensive coordinator, for whatever reason. I don't think they are this offseason. I don't think Nagy's getting a job right now, and I also don't think that they're going to get rid of Nagy and hire someone else. But if they went that road, that's why I've always said I want an outside name, and you've pointed out, which is still a problem, you have to have someone that Andy will listen to. Andy will listen to you if you're firm in your opinion. That's about as close as I can get on it. But again, they're going to commit penalties. They always do. And then this crew is certainly not going to make me feel any better about it, as again, they are the most... flag heavy crew in the NFL.
I mean, I wouldn't like that if I'm the Colts either. That just sucks. Nobody wants to watch an NFL game or play in an NFL game where every three plays you feel like there's a stop. I mean, last night was terrible too.
Oh, it was. And I thought the Chiefs Broncos game stunk. And then the one flag they didn't call was the clear roughing against Mahomes. And it's like, hey, you're going to throw a flag on every play and then you're just going to let that one slide?
Yeah.
They missed calls.
I'm not talking about it as far as against the Chiefs. I just mean in general.
I hate games full of flags.
Nobody wants, you know, a game that is heavily influenced by officiating because they're calling the game extremely tight.
Said he has the most flags thrown this season and the most total penalty yards. A total of 82 flags have been thrown on the home team. 84 flags have been thrown on the away team. So consistent. 3.14 more penalties called per game than the league average. His crew averages three additional penalties per game.
You know who should be really worried?
An average NFL football game.
You mentioned his name a few minutes ago. You know,
Jawan Taylor.
That's who should be
terrified.
If this crew is calling, and I don't know, is there a breakdown? Do they call more pass interference? Do they call more illegal formations? Because if they call more illegal formations, then Jawan Taylor better be on his, you know what? Because otherwise, that's going to come up in the biggest moment again in this game on a crucial third down that they convert for 15 yards that's going to get called back because of a holding or an illegal formation.
Bad news. This crew leads the NFL with 35 false start penalties. So okay. just prepare yourself for Sunday. They lead the NFL with 35 false start penalties. They also lead the league in roughing the passer calls.
Well, that could be
fair. So don't, that could be fair. So careful with Jones. When you're getting close, careful. Easy there. Easy there. They have called more than seven roughing the passer penalties than the next closest.
I just hope that Chris Jones gets close enough to Daniel Jones on Sunday where he can actually say something to Daniel Jones like he did to Matt Ryan.
I hope it's a
great sign if we get that moment, because that means Chris Jones actually got near a quarterback on Sunday. So I would love for that to be the case.
Is there a real strategy to this? If you know that this is the roughing the passer unit and the most penalized, is this a like ZM over on Twitch that like you just throw it down the field a bunch? Give them a chance to call defensive pass interference? Do you make a game plan around the fact that they call almost 3.5 more penalties per game than an average NFL game and clearly protect the quarterback more than other NFL crews?
You're saying take some shots.
Yeah. I'm saying stand in the pocket and deliver the ball damn deep and hope that it either leads to a DPI or a roughing call, or, you know, you're still allowed to complete it.
I do wonder if this is like a kitchen sink game where, hey, it's not necessarily do or die, but it's Andy's going to call some plays that he's been waiting to call, maybe has to call them sooner than he would like to, obviously, maybe wait till the postseason. But this is a game you kind of got to have. So in a got to have it game, maybe you see some wrinkles that we haven't quite seen yet from the Chiefs yet on offense.
I hear you. I think I would like the aggressiveness to showcase what you're saying. I think part of the problem, though, as we discussed earlier week, is that they've tried to get too cute and try to involve everybody. Like run. Sometimes it can be simple. It can be as simple under center, run the ball, then under center, you go play action bootleg. And like, it doesn't, part of it is empty the kitchen sink because it is do or die, but I don't need them going trick plays all over the yard on Sunday.
You're saying run some plays under center, please. Again, like can we be consistent?
But I want the aggressiveness to show. I want Andy Reid's aggressiveness, and he's been much better on fourth down all year. I want that to be how he shows that they recognize how big of a game it is. I want individual players to step up. I don't need the actual play calling to be, I don't need, you know, wide receiver reverse passes and craziness. I'm taking it to the extreme, obviously, but you get the point. I don't need that. I just need the aggressiveness. All right. Coming up next, guys, let's get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We'll also talk more about what happened with the Bills and Texans and the Golden Locks on Cody and Gold.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.